Thank you, Doug, and I hope that all of us are counting our blessings every day and that this is not just a once-a-year thing that we do. You know, you and I really are blessed in this country. We really are. It is a time for us to acknowledge unto God, however, how greatly blessed we have been and how greatly blessed we are even now. I think every one of us could say a hearty amen to being blessed. Amen?
Amen.
We are. You know, every year people pause long enough because it is a national holiday that actually had its commencement back with President Abraham Lincoln, who said that we ought to set aside a certain time every year to acknowledge the bountiful blessings that come from God. How many of you are going to eat turkey this year? Well, every year the President of the United States gives a reprieve to some turkey in Washington. This year, President Trump said there's so many, he doesn't know which one to choose. If I were to ask you the question this morning, what are you thankful for? What would you say? How would you answer that question? I'm thankful for, and you fill in the blank. Maybe it could be your health, it could be your family, it could be friends, could be food that God puts on your table every day or at the restaurant, wherever you go. It could be for your home. There ought to be so many things. Never let the things you want make you forget the things that you have. Do you realize that in life many of us often bemoan the fact that we have not been as blessed as other people? It is true. But you know what? We ought to thank God every day. Everywhere Jesus went, he gave thanks for everything. I have observed that in life there are some things I just don't forget. I never ever forget our anniversary. I don't. And if you do, it will be the last time you do. You don't forget your wife's birthday or your husband's birthday. There are some things in life I perhaps should forget that I haven't. Maybe feelings that were hurt a number of years ago. Maybe a betrayal by a friend. It could be a number of things. And there are some things that perhaps I have forgotten which I should not forget. That is, maybe paying a bill. Maybe taking care of something that needs to be taken care of and it's easily dismissed from our mind. The Bible says we're not to forget all the benefits of God, Psalms 103, verse 1 and following. And it is true. We should keep in mind that someone else is happy with a lot less than we have. You stop and think about your own life today, how blessed you are in this world. We should be thankful for our family. We should be thankful for our children. Children get on your nerves every now and then. I heard about a little boy one time who was sent to bed by his father. And 5 minutes later, he hollered out and he said, "Dad, could I have some water? I'm thirsty." And the father said, "No, you've had your chance. The lights are out." 5 minutes later, he called out, "Dad?" The father said, "What, son?" He said, "I'm thirsty. Can I have a drink of water?" And the father said, "I told you no, and if you ask again, I'll have to spank you." 5 minutes later, the child hollered out, "Dad, when you come in here to spank me, will you bring me a drink of water?" Sometimes our kids get on our nerves. They irritate us. They frustrate us. But you and I ought to be a people that are grateful for our children. And young people ought to be grateful for their parents. They should. In the book of Philippians 4 and verse 6, the Apostle Paul says, "In everything, by supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." It is not wrong for us to go to our Father in heaven and to acknowledge a particular need. Even though God has blessed us in previous days, he blesses us now, but we should be a people that are ready to go before our God at any moment. You know, I say sometimes that we get irritated with our children. How many of you get irritated with your parents? Sometimes, you know, children are not as loving and as kind and as good to their elderly parents as they ought to be. There was a woman who wrote a poem one time entitled, "When I'm an Old Lady." She said, "When I'm an old lady, I'll live with my son. I'll make his life happy and fill with more fun. I want to pay back all the joy he's provided, returning each deed. Oh, he'll be so excited. I'll write on the wall with red, white, and blue, and bounce on the furniture wearing my shoes. I'll drink from the carton and then leave it out. I'll stuff all the toilets, and oh, will he shout. When he's on the phone and just out of reach, I'll get into things like sugar and bleach. And oh, he'll snap his finger and then he'll shake his head. And when he's done, I'll hide under the bed. When my son's wife cooks dinner and calls me to meals, I'll not eat my green beans or my salads congealed. I'll gag on my okra, spill my milk on the table, and when she gets angry, I'll run as fast as I'm able. I'll sit close to the TV through the channels I'll click. I'll cross both of my eyes to see if they stick. I'll take off my socks and throw them away and play in the mud till the end of the day. And later in bed, I'll lay back and I'll sigh and thank God in prayers and then close my eyes. And my son will look down with a smile slowly creeping and say with a groan, 'She's so sweet when she's sleeping.'" We all get on each other's nerves. I don't care who we are. But do you think we get on the nerves of God? You think we ever frustrate our Father? Absolutely. But one of the things that glorifies God more than anything else is when we say to God, "I am thankful." In Psalms 100 and verse 4, King David wrote, "Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise and give thanks unto him and bless his name." You and I must be people that are grateful. We live in a world where people are so ungrateful. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 18 says, "In everything," if you're reading the King James Version, read a little bit different, but it says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Be grateful in all things." Thanks is a word that is not used often enough in our world. Seldom do we ever write it in a card. Seldom do we ever pause long enough to say, "Thank you for what you have done for me and what you mean to me in this life," until it is too late. I have observed as a minister of the gospel of Jesus that if you're not grateful, you're not rich. No matter how much money you have in this world, and there are a lot of people that have money that are ungrateful, and they're not rich. The Bible says that we need to grow rich toward God. But if you're grateful, you are rich. You are. No matter how little you have in this world, you are rich. You have learned a lesson that God wants all of us to learn. And the real difference between those aware of the love of the Father and those unaware is our appreciation and our gratitude. We should expect nothing and appreciate everything that the Father brings into our life. The person aware of God's love is thankful, and the byproduct of thankfulness is joy. When Paul wrote in the book of Philippians, he talked about joy in the 4th chapter in verse 4. He says, "Rejoice in the Lord, and again I say rejoice." But did you realize that that rejoicing is predicated upon what Paul previously stated in the book of Philippians when he says, "I've learned to be content in whatever situation I am in life, and I am thankful." We are not joyful, and then we become grateful, but we are grateful, and then we become joyful. Rejoice in the Lord. We are grateful. And when we express that gratitude deep within our hearts unto God, then God allows us to experience the joy of the Lord. And Jesus said in John 14, "My joy I give unto you, and no one can take it away." There are three things that you can do to develop and maintain a thankful heart this morning. And I want you to consider these, because these are extremely important. They really, really are. Number one, realize that God is the giver of all the good things in your life. I don't care what you have within your possession. I don't care what you have. I don't kind of care about what kind of car you're driving. I don't care about what kind of house you live in, what you're going to eat after you leave here today. I don't care about the cut of your clothes. I don't care about how much money you've got in the bank or how much stock that you own. I'm telling you that everything that you have is because of our Father who is in heaven. And God is good all the time. He is, regardless of the hour, whether it's 12 o'clock midnight or whether it's 6 o'clock the next day. He is good all the time. And in the book of Psalms, the reason I tell you that is because the book of Psalms chapter 84 and verse 11 says, "No good thing will I withhold from them that walk uprightly." Consider that a minute. You may have been wanting something and you may have not gotten it. Do you realize maybe the reason you hadn't gotten it is because you're not walking uprightly with God? Could be. Do you realize that if God sees it as a good thing, you will have it? You will. It's not a matter of if I will have it. It is a matter of when God gives it to you. He will establish us based upon the words, again, of the book of Psalms 37 and verse 23. He does. Psalm 16, verse 2. "You are my Lord. My goodness is nothing apart from you." Even Jesus knew that too. Stop and think about it. In his ministry, you remember the young ruler that came to him and he said, "Good master, what good thing shall I do?" Boy, he was using that word pretty fluently, wasn't he? "Good master, good thing. What shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said, "Well, first of all, let me correct what you're saying. I want you to know," he said, "there's only one that is good, and that is God who is in heaven. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me." Psalms 103 and verse 1. "And bless His holy name." You and I, as I've told you before, ought to bless God. You know, sometimes when we sit at the dinner table, we will say sometimes, even without thinking, "Would you say the blessing?" How many times have you ever heard people say that? "Would you please say the blessing?" You know what? We don't need to say the blessing. We ought to acknowledge the blessing. We ought to say thank you for the blessing. Because God has blessed us. He has. James 1 and verse 17 says, "Every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from above, from the Father of lights, in whom there is no shadow or variation in turning." We can thank God not just for spiritual blessings, and there are so many of them, the forgiveness of our sins, the sweet fellowship that we enjoy as a church family. Think about all the spiritual blessings. The spiritual blessing of someday being able to go to heaven, that there is a resurrection, and that life doesn't end when we die. But we can also thank God for the material blessings. And there are so many, many of them. We often sing that song as we were singing a moment ago. But how many of us really practice it? Count your many blessings. Name them one by one. What about the physical blessings? Isn't it a blessing this morning that you are able-bodied to be here in this assembly this morning? That is a blessing of God. But what about relational blessings? Think about that. You know, we do. We have a tremendous relationship this morning with two people. A relationship that's called a vertical relationship between us and God up in heaven. That's vertical. But we have a horizontal relationship with each other in the church and in the world. That's relationship. I'm thankful for my relationship with people, and I'm thankful for my relationship with my God. Every good thing is truly a gift from God. You know what? How many of you are thankful for your friends? Friends come and friends go. But a true friend will stick by you like family. You ever had friends that you thought, well, they're just really kind of like a part of our family? We do. Audrey and I do. And they're just like family. And they hurt, we hurt. They rejoice, we rejoice. When they're in trouble, we're in trouble. When they're sad, we're sad. They grieve, we grieve. Isn't that the biblical approach? The Bible in the book of Proverbs 18, verse 24 says that there is a friend that will stick closer to you than a brother. As iron sharpens iron, Solomon said in Proverbs 27, 17, so a friend sharpens a friend. We all want to help each other to be better. We all want to sharpen each other. A friend loves at all times, and there is a brother born for adversity is going to happen. Proverbs 17, 17, and we should be there to help. In the first hour of every day, I try to do this, and I'm not just trying to get you to do something I'm not willing to do myself and don't do. But I get up in the morning, and I get up early every morning, and I thank God for all the blessings that He gives me. There are so many, many blessings. And I reflect upon how blessed I am as a child of God. Our focus cannot be on what we do not have or who perhaps has it better in this life than me. But it should be that I am more blessed than the majority of the world. Did you realize that? It is true that the American people have over 90% of the world's wealth. Consider that statistically. Our focus must be on all the good things we do have. All the good things. So secondly, be aware of the many blessings that the Lord has given you. Acknowledge them, first of all. Number one, acknowledge that. Realize that God is the giver. But then be aware of the many blessings that the Lord has given unto you. Count your blessings. Name them one by one. You know, little children sometimes have it right. Have you ever seen them sit around a table? And they go around the table and they say, thank you, God, for the beans and thank you for the corn and thank you for the meat and thank you for the salt and thank you for the pepper. And you think they're never going to get through? You know what I'm talking about. But they probably have a greater handle on gratitude than you and I as adults do. They count their blessings and they thank God for them. Every hour we should rise and say, God, thank you. And we should cherish each day and thank God for the blessings He's given us. When you feel trapped, and sometimes people do in their life, with all of their problems, they feel trapped. They feel like they're inside. There's no way that life will ever be better for me. I will never advance at the job. My life will never be any better. Woe is me. And we get on a pity pot and we stay there for a long, long time. When you feel that way, realize that you don't have to face your problems alone. But there is a God in heaven who is watching over you. And He will not allow you to have more problems than you can handle. And when the problems get so intense in life, He will provide for you a way whereby you can escape those problems. That's what He says. So God says you can either face the problems with my help, and if they're too intense, I'll allow you to flee and I'll be with you and chart your course. Psalms 55 and verse 22, cast your burden on the Lord and He will establish you. He will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved. That's a great blessing from God. And you have a choice. You can either focus on what's tearing you apart or what's holding you together. Now think about that a moment, folks. Do you know what God may be allowing you to experience right now, what you are experiencing to hold you together? Not to tear you apart, but to hold you together. Sometimes when we feel like life is tearing us apart, we forget sometimes that God's still the one who is in master control. He is. But there's a third thing, last of all, you need to remember. That is, anticipate the better days ahead. You know, I'm not dreaming when I say that. And I keep telling people that, and they don't believe me. I say America's best days are ahead of her. Our best days are yet to come, folks. Now, you can wallow in self-pity, and you can talk about all the, how much better it was then and that it is now. And I don't know about you, but, I'm thankful for the advancement in medical science. I'm thankful for the achievements that we have made in just about every area of life. And all of that is because God gave men wisdom. And God blessed them. Anticipate the days to come. And always remember that the better days are ahead, if not in this life, then in the life that is yet to come. Heaven is going to be a better place. It is. Again, when you feel trapped in your life, realize that those heavy burdens can be removed by choice. Anyone's life can be a tale or a tragedy. It can be either tragedy or victory. Consider that. Isn't that amazing that God leaves it up to us as to whether it's going to be a victory or whether it's going to be a tragedy? You know, there's a Greek word, you may not realize this, there is a Greek word that is used in the Bible for the word victory. It's a word that you hear every day. Some of you even wear that name on your body every day. It's called Nike. Any of you ever wear Nike shoes? The Greek word Nike means victory. Now, the Nike Corporation didn't take that name by accident. They want people who wear Nikes to be victorious. Let me tell you something, your Nike is coming. And thank God for the Nikes that we have had in the past. Your life can be a tale of tragedy or it can be a tale of victory of Nike. Our hope serves as an anchor of the soul, Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 19. And sometimes, think about this a moment, sometimes when things are falling apart, they may actually be falling into place. Have you ever had things happen to you in life and you look back right at the moment, you think, well, you know, why in the world did this happen? As David was praying a moment ago, and I appreciate your prayer, David. You know, there are just some things that we may not understand at the moment why they happen, but then we look back on it. Sometimes we're in a short way, I mean, just a short distance, we can say, hey, now I realize why that happened. And sometimes it may be years in your life before God brings it into vision for you. And then you may be able to look back and say, now I know. It's like Job in the Old Testament. When Job said, God, I'd always heard of you in chapter 1. When all of this calamity was going on in his life, but at the end of the book, in chapter 42, Job says, God, there were times when I heard of you, but now I have seen you. Never, ever let success go to your head, and never, ever let failure go to your heart. There will be times in life when we make mistakes and when we fail. That doesn't make you a failure. Anticipate the better days to come. Psalms 23 and 6, David said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord my God forever. Psalms 48 and verse 14, for this is God our God forever and ever, and he will guide us even unto death. Think about the days before us. Think about them. Psalms 85 and 12. Yes, the Lord will give what is good, and our land will yield its increase. There are many doors that God opens to us every day. Consider them. Every door. But the greatest door that He has opened for us is that door that will someday lead to the presence of our Father who is in heaven. For Hebrews 12 and verse 2 says, to look unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. He opened the door to salvation, and I walked through it many years ago. He provided a door. He opened it, and I walked through it. And every good thing is a gift from Him. The blessing of life was a gift from Him. The hope for the future is a blessing in Jesus. These are promises, but they're made to the Christian, not to the people of the world who live ungodly, immoral lives. But are you in Christ? Are you a new creation? In Christ, I am accepted, and I belong. I do. In Christ, I am secure, and in Christ, I am significant. What is your spiritual DNA this morning? What is it really? You know, we always talk about DNA, but what's your spiritual DNA? Would God really be your father? Would He? If you had a DNA spiritual test, would He be your father? He wants me to obey Him and to love the Word of God is to obey Him. And Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Obedience is our gift unto God. Our gratitude is seen in our obedience to our Father in heaven. In prosperity, God tests our gratitude. In poverty, our contentment. In darkness, our faith. And at all times, our obedience. Life eternal is not a fantasy, nor is eternal hell. I want to close this morning with a letter that a young girl wrote to her father to express her gratitude and her appreciation to him. He was dying with cancer, but it moved her to write to him. She couldn't be near him. And she wrote this in Riverside, California. And she said, "Dearest Dad, I want to tell you how much I have loved you all these years. And I do know that we have a choice, do not have a choice of who our parents are. But if I had a choice, I would have chosen you. When I was growing up, I used to think of you. And I used to think you didn't really love me because you would punish me when I didn't think I deserved it. But after I had children of my own, I realized a lot of things. I knew why you seemed hard at times. I knew this when I had ruined my life in deep sin and couldn't escape because of all the problems that I had and the hurts. But I finally came to know God only because of the lessons that I learned from you. It is hard to find Christ in a free society today. I believe He kept me safe until I came to know Him because of your lessons and because of your prayers. Sometimes I would be so stunned on drugs or alcohol, I didn't know who I was or where I was going. Jesus seemed to be whispering to me in my ear to come to Him. I got in my car one day, and I started driving. I thought I was running from God, only to find that I was running toward Him. My precious Father, I would give anything I own to stop your suffering, and I wish I could have done more for you. I did the best that I could. You have been the best father in the whole world. And if the other children in our family do not serve God, it is not your fault. You will have a special crown in heaven for all those people you helped and the Lord at those little meetings and all those little places where you preached. I personally want to thank you for my life here on earth. and the one life eternal after this one that you have made provisions for in my childhood. I love you, Daddy. I appreciate you. And I thank you. Thanksgiving. How grateful we all ought to be. Someday we'll go to one of two places. And as I said already in this lesson, it is a matter of choice. Heaven or hell. Banishment from God forever. If you're not a Christian this morning, I think you know the answer to that question. Heaven or hell. And I hope if you seriously answer it and you're not a child of God, that you'd make provisions right now through your obedience to Christ to become a Christian in New Testament baptism, to live for Him, and to know that when you draw your last breath here, you will draw your first in the presence of a loving and an eternal God. The Lord is my strength and my song, and He has become my salvation. Psalms 118 and verse 14. Why not let Him become yours this morning by being baptized for the remission of your sins, or by drawing close to God in obedience through prayer and through an acknowledgement of your sin while we stand and while we sing.